Dear congregation, with God's help, we will meditate on the Word of God, and particularly you can find it in Acts 22, verse 16, and also from Lord's Day 26, back at the Psalter, page 55. God's Word, then, to us this morning. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Lord's Day 26, question 69. How art thou admonished and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? And the answer thus, that Christ appointed this external washing with water, adding thereto this promise, that I am as certainly washed by his blood and spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins, as I am washed externally with water, by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. Question 70. What is it to be washed with the blood and spirit of Christ? And the answer, it is to receive of God the remission of sins freely for the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us by sacrifice upon the cross. And also, to be renewed by the Holy Ghost and sanctified to be members of Christ, that so we may more and more die into sin and lead holy and unblameable lives. Question 71. Where has Christ promised us that he will as certainly wash us by his blood and spirit as we are washed with the water of baptism? And the answer is, in the institution of baptism, which is thus expressed, go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. This promise is also repeated what the Scripture calls baptism, the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. The congregation, our theme is the sacrament of holy baptism. 3 points. In the first place, it's a prompting. In the second place, it's a picture. And in the third place, it's a proof. It's a sacrament of holy baptism, in the first place, a prompting of a full assurance, a picture of a complete salvation, and thirdly, a proof of a sure foundation. In the first place, then, a prompting of a full assurance. Now, two Lord's Days that deal with the baptism, that's the sacrament of holy baptism. Lord's Day 26, which sets before us the significance, importance of holy baptism, while Lord's Day 27 teaches us about its extent or its scope, how wide and how broad it is, so broad that it even includes our children, as we just witnessed this morning. We'll return to that next week, the Lord willing. But today, in Lord's Day 26, we are called to consider, with God's help, his awesome message in baptism and by baptism, its significance and its urgent appeal, but also its wonderful provision set before us in a picture form. This urgency is also in our text. Acts 22:16, when Ananias speaks to Saul, Now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Why do you delay? That's what it means, why tarriest thou? But not only in that text, also in the rest of the word, baptism speaks of an urgent need, as I referred to earlier already. Baptism reflects that from the Word of God, our urgent need, as well as our amazing provision in the Lord. But the urgent need is there, not only for us as adults, but also for our children. That's why our children are included. It can't wait, boys and girls, young people, older ones. We must be born again. That's what baptism teaches us. We're not ready to meet God in peace when we're born or baptized. We must be born again. That's why the Lord includes the very message to the children too. He says, my son, my daughter, give me thine heart. So baptism teaches us. It's an urgent appeal. You find it also in this Lord's Day, in question 69. How art thou admonished, rebuked, exhorted, and assured by holy baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to thee? You notice right away in the question already. If you have it before, you can see it in the very question that the water of baptism is not our advantage, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is. That one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross, that's not only our advantage, but it's a real advantage. That's what the water testifies of. It's never the water itself, but that which it points to. How art thou admonished? In the German, it is a word that has to do being strongly reminded. Reminded with a rebuke, as it were. Reminded and assured. In other words, how are you prompted to be sure of the fact that there is forgiveness with God? To be prompted is to be provoked, to be stirred up, to be awakened, to be encouraged, to be driven, to be impelled, to be alerted. Take notice. That's what it says. How art thou admonished and assured? You see, by baptism we are prompted by God to believe that the Word of God is true. Absolutely true. In every respect, in every aspect, both in its threatenings as well as in the promises. We are prompted to believe that we are doomed to perish if we have not taken and if we will not take refuge to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what baptism, the waters of baptism, teach us. Visibly. That we sink away in eternal condemnation of hell unless and until we confess our need before Him and confess our sins and flee to the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in Him, trusting in Him and His perfect satisfaction, His perfect sacrifice. You see, then, as we read in 1 John 1 verse 9, then God will forgive, because we read that if we confess, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And why is that? Because what we read two verses earlier in 1 John 1 verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Not the water, but the blood does. See, this truth we are prompted to believe, not only when we hear the word proclaimed, but also the sacrament of baptism administered. Prompted to believe with great confidence, assured of its certain outcome. You see, that's also the focus, again, not only of the question, but also of the answer to question 69. It's not our works, not our faith, not our repentance, not anything we do, but everything Christ has done. The focus is on the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and on His shedding of blood. Read the answer thus, that Christ appointed this external washing with water, adding that to this promise that I'm as certainly washed by His blood and Spirit from all the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins, as I am washed externally with water by which the filthiness of the body is commonly washed away. That's why the Lord Jesus appointed us this external washing with water to direct us to the absolute certainty of the internal washing with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For all those who put their trust in Him shall be so cleansed. That's what that water testifies. It sets the two right beside one another. So the water, boys and girls, you know, people, doesn't cleanse all things, not even with soap. Sometimes it can be so dirty that all the scrubbing with water and soap won't make us clean. So even there, water is already but a weak picture, because the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood and Spirit will cleanse us in total perfection. Not a stain left. All sin, even the darkest, most wicked stain will come off easily, but with a drop of that blood. Easily. But notice, the Lord Jesus not only institutes baptism, He not only commands us, He also adds a promise with it, that I am as certainly washed by His blood and Spirit from all the pollution of my soul. And notice there it says the pollution, and we'll go into that further too later. By His blood and Spirit. You notice that first, that by His blood and Spirit, meaning that not only He shed His blood, but by His very Spirit He will apply it to the conscience too. He will do it. That's what the water of baptism testifies. It's not something that we must do by our efforts, but something that He will do once we have entrusted ourselves to Him. For He alone is able to do it. It's a sign of true humility to entrust yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. To no longer stay away from Him. To realize that no matter what I do, I can't wash myself clean. He will do it by His word, that's the promise, and His Holy Spirit. But also note that it says, indeed, from all the pollution of my soul. What does that mean? Well, dear congregation, we are so sinful, so forgetful, even having received grace and comfort, having fled to the Lord Jesus Christ many times, you need to be reminded of that many times, that we do not attempt to cleanse ourselves, but to be prompted to flee to Christ time and again, not only when we hear the word proclaimed, but also when we have the baptism again administered in our midst, to be reminded of that, that not only we have received forgiveness of our sins in the past, but that we need it today. Not only to be forgiven, cleansed, but also purged from our sins, and to fight the good fight of faith, looking to Jesus and His shed blood. Perhaps it's your struggle. Parents or children, young people, older ones, maybe you struggle with that and think by yourself, how shall there be ever forgiveness for me? I have repented, I've looked to the Lord Jesus Christ, but how come I still sin? He sin upon sin, and my conscience is guilty. It accuses me. I'm filthy before the Lord, for I've sinned again and again. Will God forgive me? Even me? Can it be true for me, even when I've sinned so many times, even after having found some comfort in looking to the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. God says so in His Word and confirms it with the water of baptism. Was it not true for the Apostle Paul, who even sinned in persecuting not only those that followed the Lord Jesus Christ, but Jesus says, persecuting me? Well, when he was struck down on that road to Damascus, he didn't have to wait long for it. What did Ananias say to him? We read it together. Now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Calling on the name of the Lord. And that brings us to a second point. A picture of a complete salvation. So holy baptism not only sets before us a prompting, but also a picture. A picture of a complete salvation. Our salvation is not only sure, that is, of course, if Jesus and His shed blood are our only hope and expectation, then it's not only sure, but it's also complete. Of course, Ananias didn't mean that Paul could be clean from his sins by washing himself with water, with the water even of baptism. He was prompted to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Take notice of that last phrase of that verse. And the emphasis lies on that. Just like the water of baptism doesn't do the cleansing, but that which to which it points. The emphasis is not on the water, but on him crying as a poor man, calling upon the name of the Lord, calling for a rich and powerful Savior. Going into the water, going to the water, knowing that it is the blood alone that can cleanse from all sin, that God alone can do it. And God hears it. God hears that cry. And He sees also what we have seen this morning. It reminds Him, as it should remind us, who His Son is, and how certain and how true there is salvation in Him, even for the greatest of sinners. Salvation is not a perhaps, dear congregation. In the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is absolute and perfect and complete cleansing. He hears us. He will hear us. He will save us from all our sins. For His name's sake. For Jesus' sake. That's why we conclude, boys and girls, our prayer that way. For Thy name's sake. For Jesus' sake. And so we're called, dear congregation, without delay, to repent and believe the readiness and ability of God to save the worst. That's what baptism testifies. That's what it is said before us, also as a picture. Hebrews 10:22, we read, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. The water isn't the washing, but it pictures it. It's a visible sign or a picture of a great and awesome and perfect reality. It's a seal of a certain washing. I return to that, Lord willing, in next Lord's Day 27. And now we focus particularly on what it pictures. Both the initial cleansing, as well as the ongoing cleansing. Remember, we talked about pollution. It'll come back here. It's not only about being forgiven of sins, but also to be separated from sin, to be purged from sin, the ongoing sin that arises in us. You see, that's what baptism testifies to, because it directs us to the blood of the Lord Jesus for two purposes. Not only for justification, but also for sanctification. And notice that very clearly said before us in question 70. And the answer, what is it to be washed with the blood and spirit of Christ? And we see in the answer that first, it is to receive of God the remission of sin. That's the justification. That's when the guilt of sin is removed. Freely, for the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us by sacrifice. Notice the emphasis again on the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus upon the cross. And then it says, and also, that is secondly, to be renewed by the Holy Ghost and sanctified, to be members of Christ. That's to deal with the remaining pollution of sin, to be purged from sin. And then it goes on to say that so you may more and more die to sin and live and lead holy and unblameable lives. You see, when we truly trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his perfect sacrifice, not only are our sins forgiven each time when we flee to him in repentance, but also by that very same power we will be made willing and able to fight sin and to put it to death. Earlier in the morning we quoted from 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And it says, so forgive our sins, that's not the end, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he does, the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus does two things. By that he forgives us all our sins, but he also cleanses us from all unrighteousness, from our ongoing and recurring guilt because of recurring sins and recurring pollution. Because our hearts are fountains of sin and keep producing it. That's why we need a fountain that is open for sin and uncleanness, for sin and uncleanness. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he does so freely, repeatedly, 70 times 7 in a day. Have you never been glad that the Lord will forgive 70 times 7 in a day? When our sins rise up against us that we can't even count them, but God's forgiveness in the blood of Jesus is complete. He's faithful and just. Faithful, that means true to his word. Those who come to him will be cleansed. Just, because the price is paid. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Does it not concern you, dear congregation? Or have you never been wearied by the endless stream of your sins? Your inconsistencies, your shortcomings, have you never fled with them to the Lord Jesus Christ? And if you did it once, haven't you found yourself doing it all the time? Not just a couple times a week or a couple times in a year, but daily, many times. Yes, never often enough. Never sincere enough. Even your repentance and your confessions need to be repented of and need to be confessed as sin. There's nothing but sin out of yourself. Is it then not true that even though we do not need to be rebaptized, we do need to flee to that blood
daily, continually. Yes, 70 times 7, infinitely. The water of baptism doesn't need to be sprinkled again and again because it doesn't have a real advantage. But the blood of the Lord Jesus does. Real advantage means be needed every day. Do you, dear congregation? If you do, and you do flee to Him, you are cleansed every time you flee to Him. You may not have the comfort each time, but the joy and the peace that goes with it. But the truth of God's Word is nevertheless the same. And this doctrine does not make men careless and profane, as we saw recently. The opposite is true. If you truly flee to the Lord Jesus Christ, being burdened by your guilt and pollution of your sin, you will not abuse it. And if you do, you will repent of it. You will mourn and grieve over it. That indeed your soul cleaves to the dust. And you sin again and again. Not true. And people say that's too easy. So you can but sin and confess and be forgiven. Well, then you stand still on the other side if you think it that way. You really understand the preciousness of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and His willingness to cleanse you. You will not abuse it. It's impossible. John goes on in 1 John 2. He says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not, period. In other words, don't even think about it. Don't sin, hate it, flee it. He'll say yes to that. But he goes on to say, and, or you could translate it, but, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. In other words, but we read also in the form that we should not continue in sin, neither despair. Because we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. There's blood and despair to cleanse us. Brings us to our third point. A proof of a sure foundation. Because all the promptings and all the pictures in the world would be of no value if you wouldn't have a firm foundation, something that undergirds it. And all the things that we could say and all the signs that we could present would be without value, would be meaningless, would be vain if there would be not the Word, the Rock of Ages, that stands underneath. The unchanging, faithful Word of God. In other words, we need solid proof that our salvation, our hope and expectation is built on the rock. Not on the waters of baptism, but on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, everything we heard, everything we've seen this morning is true. But only because it is so, because God says so. That's why. Not because I say it, not because you think it, but because God says it. That settles it. What a wonderful comfort that is. It's absolutely true because God says so in His inspired, infallible Word that cancels all our words. For His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. No matter what we can bring up against it, it's doomed to fail. God's Word shall prevail always. Either now in our lives and we bow under it and say, yes, Lord, be it unto me according to Thy Word. Or on the day of days, we will bend the knee too, but then it will be forced into eternal condemnation. But His Word shall prevail. In your and my life, there's not one excluded in whose life that Word will not prevail. But will it be unto salvation or unto condemnation? Baptism without the preaching of the Word, without looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, is vain. Without faith in Him, it's but sin. It's everything that is done without faith is sin. You see, the Lord not only gave us His Word and His Holy Spirit, He also gave us His sacrament. Last Lord's Day, the Lord's Supper, and today, Holy Baptism. You're admonished again, dear congregation. Admonished and assured by Holy Baptism that the one sacrifice of Christ upon the cross is of real advantage to us. Even now, it comes to us again, a double testimony that there is forgiveness with God. Not one sinner too wicked, too old. And those that take refuge to Him shall be received. Not perhaps. We make it a perhaps, because we doubt God's veracity, His truthfulness of His Word. We say, yes, but. Why shall we be received? Well, what do you think? Because He says so. When God speaks, it is truth. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. You see, the eternal security and completeness of salvation lies in the fact that God's Word is an expression of His heart, of His eternal good pleasure to save wretched and miserable sinners such as we are, and to cleanse us. We don't have to bring first some cleansing in. We come with our sins as we are, for He is able and willing and ready to cleanse us and to save us and to receive us justly because of the blood that was shed. It's powerful. But only in the way. Only in the way that is testified. Only in the way that the waters testify and direct us to the blood of Jesus. His perfect works, His perfect obedience, His perfect satisfaction for everything, for our justification, for our sanctification, for our glorification, for sinners. It will be enough, and it should be enough, if God would have just given us His Word. Would have been and should have been sufficient. But the Lord is so good and so gracious and so patient and so condescending, so understanding of our frailty and of our weakness, that He sets before us baptism. That He makes His Word, as it were, visible. Of course, as He has done in a most magnificent way, where He made the Word visible in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Word, God manifest in the flesh. But He made it visible now for us in a picture, for the Lord Jesus Christ, whose human nature is ascended into the heavens, praying for us that the Word today may be effectual, being at the right hand of His Father, the place of the Father's favor, well pleased He is with Him. Are you well pleased with Him? He comes to us, He not only gives us His Word, but He has many times sworn an oath that it's true. And now He, in addition to that, says, look at this water, as certainly as water can cleanse you from sin. And we have seen, it's not even so certain that water can cleanse us from all filth. So certain, so even more certain, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. He gives us this institution, an illustration of holy baptism. And that sure foundation is expressed in question 71. You read, where has Christ promised us that He will as certainly wash us by His blood and Spirit as we are washed with the water of baptism? And the answer is in the institution of baptism, which is thus expressed. These words, thus expressed, then lead us to the rock, where God expresses Himself in His Word. For the rest of the answer is Scripture. four texts from Scripture. Maybe boys and girls, and all the ones, you could look them up today, which ones they are, and read them. There is the proof. God says it. When God speaks, a whole world came into being, was it not? God spoke, and all these things happened. They came to be. None can speak like that. Do not despise, dear congregation, the speaking God. His written word, as well as the living word, thus expressed the Scriptures. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Notice again, even in that text, the emphasis is not on baptism, but on believing. It says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not, doesn't say, and is not baptized, shall be damned. You see, we can be baptized, but if we do not believe, we are damned. Solemn truth. God says it. This promise, the answer goes on, is also repeated where the Scripture calls baptism two things. And there again, you see the two main things said before us. Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. The initial as well as the ongoing cleansing from all sin, which we will turn to later, God willing, in Lord's Day 27. And now in conclusion, dear congregation, let me read the text. And now, it's not just the word of Ananias to Paul, it's God's word to you and to me. And notice the emphasis. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You see, that preceded the baptism in Paul's case. Next time, the Lord willing, we see how the Lord, in his covenant way of dealing with families, has instituted circumcision and replaced it with baptism. But notice here the emphasis, calling on the name of the Lord. In other words, literally it says, why do you waste your time due to indecision? Tarrying is not knowing which way to go. It's like what we read in 1 Kings 18:21, halting between two opinions. Why halt ye between two opinions? As Elijah said it on Mount Carmel. If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal be God, follow him. Why do you tarry? That's what it is. Why do you remain so undecided? Call upon the name of the Lord. It could also be translated or transcribed as, why don't you do the inevitable? Why don't you do the most logical, reasonable thing in your life? Simply shown by what Joshua did before Israel. He came to a similar point in time, Joshua 24:15, when he says, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Me and my house. Abraham and his seed. Joshua and his seed. We will serve the Lord. Dear congregation, given your own conscience, in your own mind and soul, before the Lord, one single good reason for not fleeing to the Lord Jesus Christ, to a great Savior and his shed blood, even at this moment. Oh, do it. for the first time or afresh. We need it. We need it again and again and again. And say with Peter, John 6:68, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Amen.